we present the News Quiz with your host, Miles Jupp.
Hello, and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Stratford Herald, read by Alan Smith.
Warwickshire police are investigating the attempted theft of a cash machine from a supermarket in Bidford. Officers arrived to find that the cash machine had been partially removed, leaving a hole in the wall.
Our thanks to Mark Hopcroft in Malvern for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Vicky Pepperdine. And opposite them on my left, journalist Helen Lewis and Zoe Lyons. Jeremy, who has supreme authority?
The Supreme Court, which is the highest legal body in the land, composed of former members of the Supremes, which there are 11, has overruled Theresa May, who, for reasons that only she understands, is Prime Minister, and made her bring a bill to Parliament before triggering Article 50, but it's not really going to make any difference because we are going to leave the EU, even though people might have difficulty accepting it. We're kind of leaving, and I know, you know, that yes, we're a representative democracy, and you know, purely consultative to have a referendum. But the reality is, we're leaving. But you get demented Europhiles writing in the Guardian saying, constitutionally, there is nothing to stop the Lib Dems raising an army and seizing the throne. Yes, in theory, that's true. But the reality is, the public were given a vote. Perhaps we shouldn't have been, but we were. You know, you might regret your decision to trust a child with scissors, but try getting the scissors back off that child when you realise your mistake.
Yes, we have to walk down the path of it happening with the Article 50, whatever that is. It's like a mystical button somewhere. We'll be triggered, and then we'll go down the sort of whatever that is for the next 2 years, and there'll be a lot of legal fees, etc. And then 2 years down the road, it has to be all ratified, doesn't it, by the other 27 nations? That ain't going to happen, is it? Because you know somebody like Belgium's going to go, nah. No. I want to look again at some of the legislation. And then he goes, why? Because I'm Belgium and this is boring!
She managed to slightly wrong-foot Jeremy Corbyn by getting a question asked by a toady MP called Philp that no-one's heard of, a Tory backbencher, who said, would the Prime Minister agree that I would be eternally grateful for any ministerial tidbit that she might throw me in return for my craven simpering? And so she was able to announce the Brexit bill, the Article 50 bill.
That's Chris Philp, isn't it? The MP for Croydon South.
Who, I knew it was something Dickensian sounding.
Yeah.
Philp is a horrible word is Philp. That's some kind of colonic polyp, isn't it? It's got to be.
I'm afraid it's a Philp. Vicky, how do you feel?
Yes. I've lost all sense of feeling about many things, actually, Miles, and this is one of them. No, I think I'm very impressed with Gina Miller and her one woman taking on of this whole thing. I'm not an expert. I'm not a politician, it turns out. But and therefore, I think I'm not allowed to give an opinion just based on what some people have been saying this week about people in entertainment and, or as I like to be called, lovies.
The centre ground of British politics is so insanely Europhile. It seems like for the Lib Dems, Europe is the only thing that they really care about. The driving force behind liberal democracy is the fact that continental restaurants are so much more welcoming toward families. I mean, that's pretty much all they believe in, you know.
So what is the Labour position at the moment? Where has this week's events left the Labour Party?
Torture, as usual. So there was going to be a three-line whip, and then there was maybe not going to be a three-line whip, and then there's going to be a three-line whip. So Tulip Steak has resigned from the front bench. She's not going to hang around and vote for it because her constituency voted 75% Remain. So it's put them in here. What doesn't put Labour in a difficult position at the moment? This one is a particularly difficult position. The strange thing about Theresa May is she sort of reminds me now of somebody who could start a fight in an empty pub. Right. You know, sort of standing at the bar, wildly swinging, you know, come on, I'll have you, at like a stool.
What are you looking at my weird hair? Stop looking at my weird hair. I don't look like a cobra. I don't look like a cobra.
Because this absolutely wasn't a fight that she needed to have. She's got a majority for Article 50 in Parliament, so she decided to get the Supremes to rule on it, and over many, many weeks at huge expense in the Supreme Court, for it turns out, absolutely no reason.
Well, the white paper, well, how much will that actually amount to, does anybody suppose?
I think it might literally be a white piece of paper.
Which key MPs are going to vote to block Article 50?
Key MPs?
Well, yeah. I really mean these ones written here.
OK. John-Claude Juncker,
him, Valérie Giscard d'Estaing.
I can't believe you've all forgotten Owen Smith so soon after his wildly successful bid for the Labour leadership.
Tim Farron.
Very good, yeah.
Caroline Lucas, I think.
And the only other ones you've got to name now are all the SNP MPs.
OK, just a minute, I do know these.
Marie Black.
Correct.
Jock McTavish. Morag Stewart.
Well, I think that we've done this serious justice. Endoscopically, this is the ruling of the Supreme Court that a vote in the House of Parliament will be required before Theresa May can enact Article 50. The Prime Minister is still hoping for a quickie divorce from the EU, and like all divorces, it will be beset with the usual questions. How will funds be divided? How will access be determined? And crucially, who will take Tim Farron to McDonald's every other weekend and gently explain that none of this is his fault? Labour have reacted to the Article 50 bill by, as usual, showing all the efficiency and purposeful action of a pigeon trapped in a bottle bank. Still, the plan remains for the UK to have left the EU by the time of the next election, scheduled for May 2020. Just to give you an idea of what Britain might look like by then, please remember that Blade Runner was set in 2019. 2 points to Jeremy. Vicky, who wants to make a big deal of their first meeting?
Oh, OK. So, you know that moment where you sort of lose the will to live briefly and then remember that you've got to take the next breath? OK, so this is a very, very proud moment. This is possibly one of my proudest moments of being a British person. Our Prime Minister, Theresa May, is going to meet the newly, freshly inaugurated President of the United States of America to talk about furthering our special relationship, which just sounds marvellous. Now, the joy of all of this, of course, is that just recently the President of the United States of America has announced he's going to build a wall. I'm sure everybody's heard about this, on the border with Mexico. And the President of Mexico is, frankly, from what he said on Twitter, pretty unhappy. He's quite keen to bring back that favourite sport of ours, waterboarding. Waterboarding is one of the range of enhanced interrogation techniques that Donald says absolutely works. It's like fighting fire with fire. Fact. I checked those facts and it turns out that fighting fire with fire just makes more fire. Fact.
I always wondered why you never see the fire service throwing petrol bombs into blazing warehouses.
But, I mean, apparently, I did go back and read about what fighting fire with fire, where that came from, and I think it was originally, well, Jeremy, you'll know this, Shakespeare.
Yes.
King John.
I only knew him slightly. We were kind of friends, and then he got famous and everything, and he went all pleased with himself.
Yeah, and you had that fight in the pub.
Yeah.
What else has he been up to this week, then?
Everything. Everything that is wrong. I mean, this is a kind of... It's incredible within a week that he's managed to announce the wall, announce loads of visas won't be given to, surprise, surprise, Muslim countries. He's very upset. He said that everyone's been very mean to him about the crowd size, which was definitely huge, enormously huge. And he's got a picture of it now, which he referred to as a sea of love. That's what he saw.
The wall is quite a fascinating thing because he's definitely going ahead with the wall, the beautiful wall. It's going to be an amazing wall. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful wall. And it's a 2,000-mile border. That's a lot of wall. And apparently this will keep illegal Mexican immigrants out. I don't know whether Donald Trump is aware that the ladder has been invented. You can't make somebody pay for a wall they don't want, can you? You can't do... I don't know how he's going to do that. I couldn't just add an extension to my house and then go to the neighbours, like the conservatory? You better, you're paying for it, mate.
There's also the word tunnel, which seems not to have crept into...
Oh, yeah.
Because most people come through tunnels, which are remarkably disrespectful of walls.
The one good thing that's happened this week, and I struggled to find one good thing, is that it stopped all of the people who said, well, he probably won't be as bad as he was on the campaign trail.
Yeah.
You know, I just think he'll end up maybe like Reagan or Eisenhower, be quite normal. And it reminds me of people sort of going, well, I know Senator Palpatine was bad, but now he's emperor. I think he'd be very committed to liberal humanitarian intervention.
But May wants to keep us, she said, a strong personal relationship, didn't she?
She says something even more crawly than that. She got off the plane and said, they said, how will you get on with Donald Trump? You know, she said, opposites attract.
How deeply upsetting.
She seems very keen to get over there. She's being remarkably blithe about the prospect of being sexually assaulted in the Oval Office, isn't she? I mean, you would think, I'm not going in without marksmen. I'm not going in.
You'd wear your big pants.
There we go. That is our foreign policy now. Pathetically, this is the meet-cute story of the week as Theresa May travels to Washington for her first encounter with President Donald Trump. We may think of her as the Prime Minister of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, but right now she's just a girl standing in front of a boy and asking him to enter a bilateral trade deal. On Wednesday, Trump ordered the construction of a wall on the border with Mexico. But if Trump really wants to send a strong message to his neighbours, I think the best thing to do is to plant a row of conifers and stop taking in parcels. Trump famously called Mexicans criminals and rapists, which does make it harder to get them to build you a wall, as I discovered during a particularly heated exchange at the Malvern branch of B&Q. 2 points to Vicky. Zoe, who can't see the wood for the wheezing?
This is about the horrific smog that has been hitting most of northern Europe this last week. There's been terrible smogs in Paris and, of course, in London as well. We had the worst recorded smog for years, and Sadiq Khan issued the highest alert for air quality or poor air quality within the capital. And a lot of it has to do with the fact it's been very cold and very still. So air isn't moving. There's no wind, so it's not dissipating anywhere. But a lot of the contributing factors are traffic, obviously, but also the smoke generated from wood-burning stoves, which is the ultimate middle-class accolade, isn't it, having a wood-burning stove? Now, I dare say there are many people listening to the show sat around their wood-burning stove, bathing in the warm glow of their own smugness. I mean, it was believed that they were generally fairly eco-friendly, I think, initially, because they were thought to be carbon neutral, but they do produce other particles that are quite harmful to health. So it's that whole sort of middle-class dilemma of people going, oh, we thought we were being so environmentally friendly. It's a little bit like that time we booked a retreat in Costa Rica where we were going to stay in an eco-resort where they collected all their own rainwater and produced solar energy and put a lot back into nature, and then we realised we'd have to fly there, which would produce enough CO2 to make 2 toucans go blind and the sloth have an asthma attack. Obviously, the other aspect is traffic in London, particularly in London and Paris, big cities. It's horrific. You can't get around. Apparently, the average traffic speed now in London is 8 miles an hour. Under 8 miles an hour.
More demonstrations is what we need. If you looked at the Women's March that took place, that got across London vastly quicker than you would have done by car.
Do you think you can have a transport network entirely made up of different marches or whatever? And you say, how on earth do I get to Hanalt at this time? Oh, what you need to do, you need to join the feminist march up to Marble Arch, and then you're going to have to join Muslims Against the Bomb, just make your way down to the left or whatever, and then the Tatty Grouters for Humanity. I don't know if they're still around. But an excellent system.
Did you see the advice that the Royal... I think it was either the Royal College of Physicians or some other august body put out, which said the thing you need to do when air pollution is really high is limit strenuous exercise outside. And you thought, yeah, I got this one. It's January, I'm okay with that.
Which other English city has got a problem with smog?
It's Sheffield. Traffic around Sheffield on the M1. So what they've suggested there, cleverly, is bringing in speed restrictions on the M1 of 60 miles per hour during rush hour. Now, whoever brought this in has clearly never been on the M1 during rush hour.
But I think it's nice that the old pea soupers are back.
What was it like in the first
Oh, sure you were. tell you what, Miles, it was a wizard wheeze. You used to like hawking up a bit of phlegm there. You'd stand around on the street corner and a police officer would clip you around the ear and you'd respect him for it. Marvellous it was.
We need to rename them now, don't we, if the Peace Supers. If they're caused by middle-class wood-burning stoves, they are going to be a pea puree. Or there's an hell of a baba ganoush out there today.
So a pea and ham soup. Putrescently, this is the emerging public health crisis caused by high levels of smog across the UK. In London, Sadiq Khan has issued a very high air pollution alert, although, frankly, anyone who buys a ticket for an open-top bus tour of London deserves whatever's coming to them. News of the smog has been welcomed by London's long-dormant Ripper community. Nothing like a good old pea super to get some really great ripping done, am I right, guys? Elsewhere in Europe, Parisian authorities have banned diesel cars made before the year 2000 in an attempt to deal with their own smog problem. Hard as it is to detect smog in Paris amid the perennial clouds of smoke billowing from toddlers smoking Gauloises. 2 points to Zoe. And at the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Vicky have 4, and so too to Helen and Zoe. We start round two with an item heard on a Radio 2 music documentary.
The crazy world of Arthur Brown frontman Arthur Brown is still touring and doing his thing these days, although in the current climate of increased health and safety regulations, he's not allowed to set fire to his helmet anymore.
Thanks to Richard Daly in Singapore for sending us that. Helen, which cover-up has gone nuclear?
This must be Trident. So every couple of years we test our nuclear deterrent, and in the summer of last year we tried to fire a missile from Florida. It was supposed to go out into the Atlantic Ocean. It instead went completely the other way over mainland US. And the question is whether or not Theresa May knew about it, or if she was even slightly worried. So the explanation they put out was that it wasn't the missile that failed, it was the information we sent to the missile that failed. Which is about the least reassuring thing you could possibly hear when it's got nuclear warheads. But the most worrying thing about the whole thing, the more you read about the nuclear weapons, the more you think this is a disaster waiting to happen, is that our Navy runs our submarines on Windows XP. They've got a bespoke version of Windows XP called Windows for Submarines. Which Microsoft stopped offering technical support for in 2014. So quite likely at some point we're going to have to switch our nuclear weapons off and then on again.
Sir Michael Fallon, how good a week has he had?
He said that the crew had been certified, which is also worrying. But yeah, he said it's all fine, and then the Americans said, no, actually, no, we did nearly nuke ourselves. Because it's Americans that actually runs them, it's not us. We just manned the submarines. Because we're a seafaring nation, you see. It's Nelson and Hornblower and Sir Francis Chichester and those rowing people in the Olympics. They're a seafaring nation. But we can't fire weapons. The Americans fire them for us, and those missiles get homesick and head back towards America when they're old.
He's very good excuse, and he kept saying, when he was asked questions, he was saying, well, I can't really divulge any information on this particular issue because of for operational reasons. He was asked about 30 times about him. He just said, well, it's just operational reasons. You think this is a fabulous excuse that you could use throughout life, really, when they say, why you don't seem to put the bins out again? Well, I can't really explain why I haven't put the bins out. I mean, it's really very much operational reasons, which I can't. And why have you let yourself go? Well, again, it's really... I'm afraid it's operational reasons.
So did the missiles land somewhere in mainland America, then?
Disney World. Yeah.
They were?
They had to be diverted into the sea.
Can you divert
part
a missile?
Part of the war against fish.
How do you divert a missile?
You've got, like, a GPS system on them with some posh woman going, at the nearest opportunity, make a U-turn. Yes.
Turn around.
Get left at Louisiana.
But in a way, you can understand not wanting to tell. You'd say, why didn't you tell people? Why didn't you tell people? But it's fairly obvious why you wouldn't want to tell someone, isn't it? I mean, if you're in charge of something that's gone catastrophically wrong, and this isn't the only panel show I've hosted. Do you have any strong feelings about nuclear warheads, Vicky?
I just sort of got this image of somebody with, you know, my sons have over the years had you know, remote control cars and things, and they're terribly hard to control. Have you ever tried with those little levers? And I just sort of imagined somebody going, no, it's the other way, and desperately trying to make, and then giving up and handing it back to the husband and go, you do it then.
The only thing wrong with that analysis is that your son's cars didn't have the destructive capacity vastly beyond the Hiroshima bombing. Other than that, it was...
Well, we don't know where she bought them.
Does it really matter, actually, when you're thinking about it, where they end up going if they're fired? Because the day we all end up firing our nuclear missiles at each other is the day we've all lost anyway. So if a few go off helter-skelter and Milton Keynes gets a bit of a chip off it... Is it really going to make much of a difference? The world will have ended.
If you're from Milton Keynes and want to write in, please write to the feedback programme.
I love Milton Keynes.
Ruben Eskley, this is the government's apparent attempt to cover up an unsuccessful test of the Trident missile system. Theresa May knew about the failed test but didn't manage to mention it to Parliament before they voted on Trident renewal. The missile was launched from HMS Vengeance, a rather more provocatively named vessel than its sister ships, HMS Deeply Apologetic. And HMS Faults on both sides. Presumably, though, if the missile failed, that is an argument for renewal rather than against, in much the same way that if your kidney fails, you try to get another kidney, rather than saying, well, that's it, I'm through with kidneys. Once unsuccessfully filtrated, twice shy. In a recent speech, General Secretary of the CND, Kate Hudson, said nuclear weapons are not 100% fail-safe. In so many ways, it's a disaster waiting to happen, the consequences of which are too terrible to comprehend. Before adding, but today isn't about me, so let's all raise our glasses to the bride and groom. 2 points to Helen. Zoe, have a listen to this.
Working for me.
Well, that was upsetting. Zoe, who might be having their last dance?
Oh, this is the tale of the Chelmsford Morris, which is a Morris dancing group in Chelmsford, obviously, who have sent out a request in their local area for fit, mildly eccentric men to join their Morris dancing troupe. Now, Morris dancing is quintessentially English, like cheese rolling or bog snorkeling or being passively aggressive when somebody does something that annoys you in a queue and you go, ooh. It's on that sort of a level. And this group has been going since the 70s. They've got a lot of new women members, but a lot of male members have dropped off. Presumably having been whacked by a stick. So, yes, they're trying to encourage more men to join in the Morris dancing troupe, which you think... You know, I can't believe it sort of doesn't appeal to the modern hipster, really, when you think about it. It's about as hipstery as you can get, isn't it? There are bells, there are sticks, there's beards, there's hats with flowers in, there's drinking crafted ale later. You could even ride home on a penny farthing made out of old beer. It's a vintage sewing machine. I mean, why it hasn't taken off in Shoreditch, I've no idea. It seems very appealing, but, yeah, that's what's going on.
I mean, so help could be at hand, actually, couldn't it, in that sense?
Yeah, you know. I mean, it's a right old laugh, isn't it, Morris dancing? You've got the fool who's got his pig's bladder all full of air that he bashes vegans over the head with. I mean, it's a... Two sorts of sticks as well. I've done a bit of research today and tomorrow's dancing. Get two sorts of sticks, long and short. You're welcome.
I mean, how serious a crisis do you think this is?
I didn't realise that women were allowed to Morris dance. I thought it was a sort of sacred brotherhood and you weren't allowed to join it, like, you know, being leader of the Labour Party or something. It just wasn't for women.
Absolute basically. Equality pioneers, yeah. Apart from the blacking up.
Not even really British, you know. No, it's one of those classic things. Well, you know, it's not really, but it's Moorish dancing.
Very Moorish.
Very Moorish. Nothing that's like all these things with, Britain, good old Britain with our tea and our chutney and our pyjamas and our bungalows. I go do lally when I think about it, I do. Yeah, nothing's authentically British other than Ricketts.
What do you think they need to do, though, to get... I mean, they've got to... We can't
change the music. They need some proper hardcore hip-hop. Mm. And get rid of the sticks and have AK-47s.
Yeah. And just shoot them into the air relentlessly.
Yeah.
Should be no limits, Morris dancing, like sort of ultimate cage fighting.
Oh, yeah.
Where you do get a stick, but you can use it any which way. Six blokes fight it out on a Kentish field. Ultimate Morris dancing.
Automatically, this is the news that Morris dancers in Chelmsford are advertising desperately for new male recruits, saying they were on the lookout for mildly eccentric men. There are reportedly only 7 male Morris dancers left in Chelmsford, which means only 3 breeding pairs. The origins of Morris dancing are unknown, although it's thought to have been inspired by the lack of a decent Pizza Express anywhere west of Yeovil. You can attach as many bells as you like to a Morris dancer's leg. Given half a chance, they will still eat all the birds in your garden. 2 points to Zoe. Before we reveal the final scores, has anybody got a cutting that they'd like to share? Jeremy.
Miles, this was sent in by Ian Williams, who saw this notice on his company's intranet. Spending time surfing non-company-related websites has led to an employee's discharge.
Vicky.
Bernadette Judge saw this on a for sale advert on her local Facebook group. Is anyone selling a 20-inch kid's bike suitable for a girl that's in excellent condition?
Helen.
This was sent in by Alison Burnett. It's from the Exeter Express and Echo. Police left stumped after third human foot found in West Country Park.
Zoe.
This is a Facebook listing on a local for sale or wanted page in Gwynedd in North Wales, sent in by Graham Hargreaves. It simply reads, anyone know if there's any cash in hand jobs for my friend, please?
And now let's take a look at the final score. Helen and Zoe have 8, but this week's winners are Jeremy and Vicky with 9. Before we leave you, here is a typo spotted on a Nature Lovers Facebook group by Peter Wise.
We had a brilliant day nature watching today. We saw 2 kingfishers, cormorants, herons, swans, ducks, 2 sparrowhawks, and to top it all off, we even saw a stoat chasing a rabbi.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Vicky Pepperdine, Helen Lewis and Zoe Lyons. In the chair was Miles Chupp and the news was read by me, Alan Smith. The chair's script was written by Madeline Brettingham, Max Davis and James Kettle, with additional material by Clint Edwards and Robin Morgan. The producer was Richard Morris and it was a BBC Studios production.